You have entered trailertrashpodcast.wordpress.com.
That chronic make me paranoid, baby.
Is it true that there is a place in a man's head that if you shoot it, it will blow up?
He's got a beautiful bitch.
He got all of that one.
Yeah, we're in a tight spot.
Just one moment, please. All systems are functional.
Hey, Hal.
Hal.
Back, Hal.
Do you know Hal?
That's from Space Odyssey, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
What do you think about that movie?
I've never seen it.
Really?
What?
I like it.
When people get too hype about that, I will see it. I have nothing against seeing, but when people get real hype about stuff, like I tend to like
it looks,
and then I'll find it on my own.
I didn't watch The Wire for a long time because everybody kept telling me how fucking good it was, and then I watch it and it's fucking good.
Yeah, it's like I get it.
Yeah.
Sex with my fiance is good, but I'm like, dude, you do it.
Today is Friday, February 1st, 2013. It's February. Oh, it's February. I hate the sound of that.
Really? Oh, yeah. Wow, that is fast.
This is Trailer Trash Podcast. Welcome, everybody. I am your host, Mike Bauer. Joining with me, as always, is...
Garrett Smith.
Hi, Garrett.
Hello.
How was your Thursday?
Thursday was good.
How was your sets?
I probably skipped Raven Lounge again. That seems to be a common theme recently.
Yeah.
But Roosevelt's probably went, you know, as good as it normally does. Nice middling reaction.
Cool.
Yep.
I really enjoy that story. That was a really good story.
Yeah, thanks.
I didn't do anything on Thursday. I watched the Flyers game.
Yes.
I don't know what the score was because I forgot.
They probably either won or lost. That seems probably to be how it's going right now.
Yeah, it's probably one of those two.
Are you a sports fan, Patrick? Oh, our guest today is Patrick Graves. Again?
Yes.
Am I a sports fan?
Yes.
I enjoy watching sports. I've just never been to the point where the outcome affects my life.
Yeah.
It affects mine. I get stressed out when the Flyers lose. I'm so glad that hockey's back, but this has been a worse season for Flyers hockey. And but this is a movie podcast, so we're not going to talk about that. So Trailer Trash Podcast is a podcast where we watch upcoming movies and use the movies to get to know our guests. Today is episode 24. 24, Garrett.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this.
Just to be clear, we watch movie trailers.
We consider the trailers as the movies because that's the whole point. Because
I agree with you.
Honestly, none of these movies that we watch or trailers that we watch we're end up going to see in theaters.
I don't think I've seen a single movie we reviewed a trailer for yet.
So we've done our...
We do the work for you.
Yeah. So the highest downloaded trailer that we've done so far has been Django Unchained. And we did record an episode this past week that's going to go up on Monday with Dan Scully where we talked about the Oscars. And I wanted to say, it's going to come out on Monday. Patrick's final
episode.
Hey,
it's cool. Let's talk about Dan Scully's episode while we're here.
Hey, listen, Patrick. Listen. So we did an episode there, and what I found out, and I want to talk about it now just to get you guys hyped up, is Garrett never saw any of the movies that are nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, no, not a single one.
What are nominated?
There's like 8 or 9 of them.
There's
I'm not going to remember them all.
It's Beasts of the Southern Wild, Amour, Argo, Django Unchained.
Argo, that cartoon?
No.
Alien?
Argo the cartoon.
What are you even thinking of?
Doesn't like Johnny Depp, he's an alien,
it's
and he's
Rango.
A cowboy. Oh, Rango. No, I honestly, I was
also,
like,
also, he's a lizard.
I was like, that shit's been out for a while.
Yeah. That also got nominated for Best Animated Feature.
Did it really?
I think
no.
It won.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, not this year. It was like last year.
Yeah.
So, Argo's the Ben Affleck one.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's been sweeping the Oscars, but...
It's been sweeping the other award shows.
Yeah, it's been sweet. It's going to sweep the Oscars.
Is Silver Lining Playbook?
Silver Lining's Playbook is nominated. Have you seen it?
No. I haven't seen any of anything you've talked about.
You never saw Django?
Same boat as me?
No.
You should see Django.
It's one of those things where they're just...
People hyping
it
up on you.
I'm not saying I'm not going to watch it because I think it's a bad movie, but like, just relax.
All right, well, I'm going to say, coming out... This is one of the things we talked about, is that I watched Life of Pi, which I said, as you'll listen in the next episode, you'll hear me say that I haven't seen it yet. I watched it. I'll talk about it on the Wednesday episode.
Okay.
The final episode with Patrick. I'll say what I feel
Thanks
about it.
Thanks for bringing it up.
That's that Winnie the Pooh book movie?
No.
Or Tigger?
Tigger.
Shit. My brother read some book. Didn't it have to do with,
it's
like...
It's a tiger.
Yeah, it's a tiger.
Oh, it's a tiger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's... I'll talk about it on Wednesday.
It's sad, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to say anything about it. Patrick,
why did you even fucking bring it up?
Hey, Patrick, say you're stranded on a boat with a tiger.
Yeah, and then 8 seconds later, when I'm dead on a boat...
Yeah.
So,
was it a CGI tiger?
Yeah, the whole movie CGI.
The whole movie?
Yeah, the only reason I even kind of want to see it now, like, I was kind of interested because Ang Lee directed it, and it's in 3D. I'm interested to see, like, his take on
3D. He does not make out with a tiger. Does not
Scully
happen.
Brought up, when we were talking about it, and this really interested me, that the movie, literally, it's an entire, like, 2.5 hour long movie that if you were to, like, when Ang Lee made it, it's literally just one actor in a wooden boat in a green room.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well, that's...
And then he built an entire 2.5 hour movie around it with other characters that are all animated.
There's
everything that happens around him is animated. It's like literally just him in a boat.
There's things that happen in the movie that aren't on that boat.
Right.
They're outside of it. But I don't want to talk about it right now. Let's come back to it.
We're talking about it now.
All right, fine. I'll talk about it now. All right. It's one of the most beautifully... cinematic, like, movies I've ever seen.
Right.
It looks
just
gorgeous.
Like background in it, like
just everything. Like there's a scene in there, like, that's probably one of the most, like, impactful scenes in the movie, that when you watch it and, like, knowing that the tiger is CGI, you still feel like it's just like talking about the soul, like creatures and animals. Like the whole movie is like about it's very religious, like the whole
okay yeah of it. Are you able to give me just a quick summary?
All right, so Life of Pi was a book. It's about a guy's journey, about finding religion as a kid and then being stranded on a boat after a shipwreck. And then, so he's stranded on a boat with a tiger, like the whole thing. So
okay.
He's learning to work with the tiger to know that they both have to survive to get to where they have to go, and he feels like God's punishing him the whole time. And so the whole story is about how he is trying to overcome that and fight against God to show that he deserves to be alive and all that stuff. But everything that happens in the movie ties into everything that he's taught, like, in the story. So he's telling this guy, the whole thing is kind of a flashback. Like, he's telling a reporter, like, his whole story. Mm-hmm. So he's doing the whole thing, and he's like, after the story, I'll tell you, you'll believe in God. It's like the whole thing. He's like, I can make you believe in God. After
See, that kind of shit. Like, watch The Wire. Like, just relax, man.
Because I'm not religious, and I don't believe in any God. I don't believe in atheism. I just... take life as is. I'm more of an existentialist. I put here for a reason. Don't know what my reason is. I'm just living. Watching the movie, like, knowing that I've read the book, and the book, it ties so well together. It's Ang Lee did a
so they fucking, did a good job.
Ang Lee did an amazing job.
There's a book movie that I feel they did a good. It's not on the level of that, but about a boy.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
I felt that the movie and the book. Besides, like, dated references, like, they used Nirvana, I think, and that...
Yeah.
High Fidelity is the same way.
Yeah.
It's the same author.
Yeah. I thought
that's a great adaptation of a book.
Well, as we discussed before, I think we said High Fidelity is my favorite movie of all time. Hands down favorite movie. I love it because I love John Cusack.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Jack Black. And I love the music in that movie. And I love terrible relationships that go wrong and a guy going back to try to figure out why his relationships went wrong and then realizing that he's at fault for everything. That's my life story.
My favorite is when, it was the first time I'd ever seen it, when Jack Black holds up his hand and then pretends to shoot all his fingers down.
Oh, yeah.
Just leaving his middle finger. Like, that had a huge effect on me. It did. I carried it. I was like, I gotta just put myself in a situation where I can do that.
You've seen High Fidelity, right, Gary?
Yeah, well, I love that movie. All
right, so let's do a top five. You want to do a top five thing? We haven't done that in a while off the top of the head. Top five. We'll do movies. Let's do movies because we're on movies. Patrick, do you like movies?
I love movies.
All right. So we'll do top five acting roles that haven't won for Best Actor.
I don't
top five acting roles for you, like, for a movie, you, like, okay. An actor that stood out to you, that spoke to you, your top five. Should we start with our guest, or do you want to start with you because you're selfish?
I don't care. What do you
five? All right, Gary, we'll start with you. Number one.
I mean, I don't. I'm not going to give him an order. I really like Bill Murray as Peter Venkman in Ghostbusters.
So good.
That is like smooth. To me, it's like, yeah, it's like one of the funniest performances to me. It's just, everything he does is hysterical in that movie. I really like Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood. That's like a ridiculous performance. I think he's awesome in that, and it's just a really fun, like, entertaining character to watch on screen. Jack Nicholson in The Shining. Shining is definitely one of my favorite movies, and that's probably my favorite Nicholson performance.
I have a quandary with that, because About Schmidt is like one of my favorite.
Oh, I like About Schmidt a lot.
Yeah,
I think he's very good in that.
But young, that's a difference. That's the older.
Sure, sure. I just think The Shining is such a nuanced movie. Like, obviously, his performance is like matches that nuance, if that makes sense. Like, his performance is as nuanced as the movie is itself.
Perfect sense.
And it's part of what makes it as great as it is. I'm trying to think of two more that I really enjoy, like performances that I just get excited about. Honestly, I think about this a lot. I really like Ray Liotta in Observe and Report. That scene where he's screaming at Seth Rogen is
so
one of my favorite things I've ever seen in a movie. When he calls him a retard, it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen, because it's so awful. It is like so awful. You feel so bad, but it's so funny to me. I don't know. Am I really going to put that in my top five? I guess so. I think about that performance all the time. It's very funny to me. And I just am going to throw another random one out just so I can finish this up. I really like Harrison Ford as Han Solo.
Yeah. Good choice. Any reason why? Just because he's badass as shit.
I mean, he's not like, just badass.
He's suave.
Yeah, it's not even that, though. That's the thing. That he's like, again, like, he's a really well-rounded character, actually. Like, as suave and badass as he is, there's tons of scenes of him, like, dicking around with that ship, like, clearly not knowing what the fuck he's doing at all. And being, like, a smug asshole. It's how smug he is.
I think he's the best-written character in that movie. Like, it's by far, like, because... He wasn't really an actor before that, though.
He was in American Graffiti. That's what that's called. American Graffiti. Yeah. A very small role. Was only in it because I think he was friends with Lucas.
Yeah.
And then was they auditioned a shitload of people for Han Solo.
Yeah.
Ford just happened to be with Lucas on one of the audition days, and so Lucas was and it was an audition day for like Leia or something like that, and so Lucas just gave him a script and was like, can you just read the Han Solo parts. And by the time they were done with that day, he was like, oh, you're Han Solo, okay, cool. Yeah, we don't even need to figure this out anymore.
He has this like the I love Han Solo, just because he comes off as like such an innocent character too, but like at the same time he's like the comedy like relief in the whole movie, and like him and Chewie like the whole time is just so funny. He's like, he's acting with like a guy in a suit, and he's playing it off so well. Like,
I was actually thinking about that the other day for like the first time. Like, it dawned on me how great Harrison Ford's performance is in all three of those movies, because he has to respond to this big fucking bear.
But the way he responds to it is so well.
That doesn't speak an actual language, and he responds to it like very conversationally.
Yeah. I think he understands what he's talking. Like, I think.
Oh, he does. Yeah. But I'm saying, but
nobody else understands anything that Chewie's saying, he's like driving the whole dialogue for the whole scene. He's like, what? No.
I also realized how great like a downplayed joke that is throughout all three of those movies.
Yeah.
That somehow this human being has figured, like, understands what this creature is saying with its grunts and growls. You know what I mean? Because even if they've spent like a lot of time together, like, even if, let's say, they've been doing this like as partners for like 10 years, I feel like 10 years is like not a long enough time to understand like a language that is that different from your own, and based not actually probably in like words, but more like sounds and like gestures. It's very funny to me that that's one of the running gags throughout it.
Yeah.
I guess that would be my five.
Patrick?
So it's five where...
Five actors that inspired you, or like you feel that like you watch their performance and you're kind of blown away by them in the movie.
I would say the movie The Big Chill, John Hurt.
Oh.
I only saw that movie once, and I was really young when I saw it. Like, I get, my mom really likes that movie.
My mom watched it yeah, my mom too. She
I was
said
just that, starting to get into movies when I was like in middle school, and she was like, "We should sit down and watch this," because it was like one of her favorite movies, and I just was like not old enough to understand it in any way, shape, or form. So I don't even really have a memory of whether it was good, bad.
Because my mom watched it. She watched it like every day. She was pregnant with me, but then so I saw it too when I was young, and you don't get it.
Yeah,
like I remember seeing like a tit. And right, I was like, oh, yeah,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
And, like, Joe Beth Williams getting, like, banged on the drive. I was like, all right, yeah. But then I watched it later on in life, and you get more of, like, you can relate more to it. Like, these people. Yeah. So I really liked his, I always, like, I thought, too, like, I was like, yeah, I'd be that guy. So his performance, definitely. Just because we've been talking about Training Day, Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. It's
because that he lost that year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that movie alone blew my mind. But his his performance rocked the boat.
Yeah, he's really good in that. I'll take that
for sure.
Bringing it back to Denzel, Denzel and Glory.
Yeah,
I've never seen Glory.
Glory is awesome. You haven't seen any.
That's a movie.
You need to start watching movies for this
podcast. That's a movie where, again, everybody, even like Matthew Broderick, everybody just brings it.
Yeah.
Fucking Matthew Broderick's in a war movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like the main character, and he like brings it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really good.
Mary Tyler Moore in Ordinary People.
Oh, that's a great performance, yeah.
Timothy Hutton's was... that's another movie where... Mm-hmm. But I don't think she gets enough credit because she does play that role.
When they gave her the Lifetime Achievement last year, they showed a lot of clips from that movie. And it's showing like how she's turned into like what she was like from that movie. Like,
yeah.
It's like a huge role for her. And it's very understated. Like it's such a good movie.
Because it's dead. I mean, it's dead on. Because there are people like that.
Yeah.
I don't want to say like that, but like I grew up on the main line. There are moms like that where everything, there's no emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And anything that deviates from what people would consider appropriate or okay. You don't talk about it, you lock it. And so I think she did amazing in that.
Yeah.
Finding Neverland, the kid, Freddie, I believe his name's Freddie Highmore.
Yes.
I think it's partly based on him being a child, but like, he, like at the end when he's sitting on the bench with Johnny Depp and you just see this raw emotion, and at the same time, you're like, this is a kid
mm-hmm.
acting. Like, this shit isn't really happening. Like, that, to me, like, in terms of, like, powerful, that, to me, was up there. And now for an amazing performance that I don't think he gets credit for, and I understand why, but the Weatherman, Nicolas Cage. I think that's one of
Crazy Cage.
That's one of my favorite movies because it's he plays that character very understated. It's not his normal behavior, and I think it's hilarious.
It is a very funny movie.
He's got the Frosty on his jacket.
Yeah.
It's what's that? It's a Frosty. What's a Frosty? It's a shake. Like that, and something simple like that. I thought it was brilliant.
The thing I like about that movie is it's literally just, it's not Nicolas Cage blowing up or getting crazy.
No.
You know, like most of his movies. It's him getting frustrated.
Exactly.
The whole movie is literally him just being frustrated with everything and everyone around him, and he's very good at it.
Usually when he goes over the top, he goes way too far over the top.
Yeah.
But in this movie, the scenes where he goes over the top,
it's still very subtle.
He lands it right on target.
Yeah.
That actually made me think that definitely one of my favorite performances is him in Adaptation.
Yeah.
That's one of my
two
favorite
roles.
Like two very distinct roles, and he's very, very good in both of them.
Yep. That was a movie that got snubbed that year, too.
Yeah. That's a fucking fantastic movie.
It really is.
He is excellent in that movie.
Well, tying into that, I'll start with my top five, is like one of my tops is Jim Carrey in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
He's awesome in that movie.
And that just goes with the writing, with tying in
Charlie Kaufman.
With Charlie Kaufman writing an amazing role, and Jim Carrey going out of his element to play a character that he's never played before.
And yeah, that's
his mind. His role emotion in that movie alone just shows that he could do a lot. He hasn't really shown it lately, like of him being able to step out of character to do kind of something like that. But he, for a movie where you're expecting Jim Carrey to be funny and going into a movie that isn't funny at all, like it's not meant to be funny,
right.
But there's some lines in there that are funny. Like what Charlie Kaufman tries to do is try to take that romantic comedy type thing, make it darker than what it is. Jim Carrey just blows you out of the water because you feel for him like the whole time,
right?
And I think that movie overall is just really well done.
That's like, a great movie.
I think it's Kaufman's best movie that he's written.
Oh, can I throw one more out there? Because you, Life is a House, Kevin Klein.
Yeah,
that's another one of those where the movie as a whole was really powerful, but his performance in that, I don't know how to describe it. It kind of reaches inside you and just puts you there.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean.
No. That's awesome. Going into the other one is Jeff Bridges in Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the dude is just like it's a character that's never gonna go away. Like the dude is a dude, and he established that he is the dude. Like,
it's true.
And the whole fact that like you're not supposed to know if he's actually Jesus or not, and like the way he just plays his whole character is like, it seems like that's just him in normal life. Like every time you see him, like you kind of just like he's the fucking dude. But Jeff Bridges in any movie is really fucking awesome. Like he's just so good. And this is like it kind of ties into my next one is John
Goodman?
No, John Turturro.
Turturro
in Barton Fink. He is amazing in Barton Fink, and I think he got snubbed of not being nominated for Best Actor for that award.
He's like, really good in that movie.
He's great in that movie. And what's the movie where he? It's not called Quiz Show, is it?
What is Quiz it? Show?
Where he's SUV? On that old.
Oh yeah!
And he's been on. He was like the first Ken Jennings, and then they want him to throw it.
Yes, I forgot what the movie is called, but I know exactly what you're talking about. I saw it on HBO one day, and I watched it, but I never knew what the movie was called.
No, and it's
there's
like
a movie called Quiz Show, but
right. But that's like the black. This one
is it a Coen Brothers movie? Because it would be at TV. Ed Wood.
Ed Wood is giant.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll look it up when we take a break. And then I'll say it before we talk about a movie. It's what I'm a three in.
Now you say that, he's really good in a
John Turturro is. Have you ever seen Miller's Crossing?
Yeah.
Well, my other tie in is George Clooney in Oh Brother Where Art Thou. I think that's
one of his best performances for sure.
But George Clooney and really like mostly anything George Clooney does is like it's another actor that I can watch any of his performances. I'm kind of just blown away just by his acting in general. It's just because. Not even watching him act, just hearing him in interviews and stuff, like he just seems like such a nice guy, like that he kind of just takes you out of everything, like you just understand like he's so friendly, like it just kind of blows your mind. Like,
he admits like, that the whole thing is bullshit.
Yeah,
not like the movie, but like the whole he admits that it's bullshit, and he's like, but you know what, like this is what I do.
Yeah,
I think. Agreeing with, I think A, he's awesome in everything, and B, I think as a person and a human being,
yeah,
he's very open and honest. Like he just, you're not like that guy might be a dick. You're like, you know what, I'm eating. How about when I'm done,
we'll have a conversation.
I'll sign something for you. Just give me a minute. Get the fuck away. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And then I have a tie for fifth, which is Paul Newman in Slapshot. Because that's the funniest movie ever made. And Paul Newman is a fucking god among gods. And that's tied with Tom Hanks in The Money Pit, which I love The Money Pit because...
Okay.
Tom Hanks, as a comedy actor in the 80s, before he started going on his, let's talk about space, let's talk about the fucking wars and Band of Brothers and all this crazy shit that he's doing now, which I still love. Like, I love Tom Hanks to death, and I think he's, like, one of the craziest people. But The Money Pit is... by far one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. And there's a laugh that they always play that when the bathtub falls through the ceiling to the floor and he is just dying laughing is one, like, that scene will always stick in my head. Like, I can watch the Money Pit over and over again, and his performance in that is so fucking brilliant.
I miss him doing comedies.
Yeah. I really liked him in Catch Me If You Can. I thought him and Leo. And Leo's another person I would throw in the list, but Leo has so many brilliant roles that you really can't decipher. Like, it's kind of hard, like, with the...
But he nails it every time.
Yeah, and, like, even, like, when he did Titanic and took the break and started coming back and started doing the more other dramatic roles where he got tied in, and I say this about Zac Efron, and I don't even care what anybody says, Zac Efron is going to be the next Leonardo DiCaprio, is that he got thrown into a movie... Well, it was High School Musical.
He's fucking good. He's very good.
Yeah, and I watched 17 again as, like, one of my favorite comedies, and I'll go on record saying this.
I've been told it's actually very funny.
It's very
funny. I'm not going to lie. I've seen it, like, 4 times because it's been on HBO. And
it's really funny. Tom Lennon drives that movie, though, because the conversation between Zac Efron and Tom Lennon about, like, oh, I want to go and talk to my wife, and he's like, you can't talk to your wife, you're 17. It doesn't make any sense. And just, like, the creepiness of the movie and, like, the way it's, like, it's so funny, and, like, I can't get over, like, it's a movie that, like, kind of sleeps, like, it's, like, one of those things, and then when Zac Efron, like, kind of steps up and, like, becomes, like, who he really is, like, I mean, he had a couple dramatic roles that he's been doing, but I don't think that's him yet. I don't think a director has found who exactly he should be.
And one where he's sailing? It's, like, that's Charlie...
Charlie St. Cloud.
He can pull at your heartstrings, I'll give him that.
Like. Yeah, well, he's good looking.
And when he does cry, I think for me, the main thing is, like, if an actor does a crying scene and you're like...
You can feel it.
You feel it, you believe it.
That's why I put the Jim Carrey as my first one for Eternal Sunshine, is because there's a scene where he's saying, while he's dreaming, don't let this scene go. Like, I want to keep this.
Yeah.
And then it's just kind of fading away. Mm-hmm. And then you can, like, you feel that. Like, you're like, Jim Carrey, you're so funny. Why are you so sad?
Can I throw another one out there I was thinking about?
Yeah.
Robert Redford in All the President's Men.
Yes.
Yes.
He's awesome in that movie.
Yes, he is.
So good.
Yeah.
He's also great in Spy Game.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know what my favorite part about that movie is? I think that him and Brad Pitt look a lot alike. Like, a lot of similarities just in their careers and, like, characters they've played. I loved that somebody was just like, yeah, put them in a fucking movie together. Yeah. Like, what are you guys, stupid? Like, why haven't we done this before?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the old Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to throw something out there. We're at 27 minutes. Jesus. Normally our episodes are a half hour. The movie today that we were supposed to watch, or we can watch, I'm going to throw this out there, is Tyler Perry's Temptation. We can just go around
and watch it and just do 5 minutes on it?
Do you want to watch it and do 5 minutes on the trailer? Because we're running long, and I was kind of into this whole conversation.
Me too.
The top 5.
Yeah, watch it, do 5 minutes on Tyler Perry's, and we'll go.
All right, we'll be right back, and then we're going to do 5 minutes. We'll go out of here, and then we'll do that. All right, we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, this is Mike. Before you listen to this wonderful episode, go over to FolkUPhilly.com. They are our host site for this wonderful podcast you're about to listen to. If you go over there and you click on the donate button and help donate to get us a new studio that we're trying to build just to bring you better acts, more podcasts, more entertainment. My buddy Garrett has a few things to say about it. Garrett?
Donate your money so that we can produce better sounding stuff.
All right. And now this.
We're back.
And we're back. Patrick does not, like, seem fazed about this movie at all. So we got 5 minutes. Let's rifle through it.
Tyler Perry's Temptation, starring Journey Smollett, Bell, Vanessa Williams, Brandy
Joe
Norwood.
Bell's African-American cousin. Hey, guys. Hey.
I think I saw Kim Kardashian on the cast list there. Comes out on March 29th.
Vanessa Williams, I kid you not, had a fucking, like, a Russian accent. She's like, they're thinking of buying my company.
I want to point out that the first black male that came on screen, Bauer started referring to as Tyler Perry, who is not in this movie, as far as I can tell, at
He's
all.
No.
I didn't mean to, like, I thought he would just be in a movie that he directs and writes, but I guess I was wrong. I apologize.
Did anybody else think this movie looked like a devil worship movie by the time we got to the end?
Yep.
There was definitely a witch. There was a witch. At one point, I saw a seance. There was all the steam in a room with candles yes. around it.
Yep. I saw there was going to be a finger bang scene on a plane.
Yes. By the end, there was somebody being thrown through a window, and somebody literally said, "That man going to bring you down to hell."
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this is a devil worship movie. I'm in. Temptation by the devil. Yeah, let's do it.
What no one knows is that if you ever watched Full House or Sesame Street, or probably... The female, who's actually grown up to be real attractive, was like Michelle's one and only black friend. if you Google, you'd be like, oh, that's, damn.
Is that Journey Smollett Bell?
Yeah.
Or Brandy Norwood?
Yeah, since when did Brandy start using her last name?
Is that what that was? Yeah, that Brandy, washed Brandy? Up.
That's yeah. Brandy.
Yeah. No more one name. I don't have anything to say about this. I'm gonna just give my rating now. This is another movie. Two movies in a row while I will not see Pirate or watch on Netflix.
I would smoke like five joints and go see this movie. I would spend the entire time convincing myself it was a devil worship movie, and that would be why it was exciting.
This is probably a movie I would fast forward through a lot and then just like masturbate to the finger banging on the plane, the sexy parts.
You're like, oh, finger banging at high pressures.
The trailer, though, for my taste, had way too many questions. Like, it was like a survey. It was like, yeah, have like, you ever
you're supposed to be in the trailer, you're supposed to
felt
like...
that you might be missing something? Fuck your boss. Oh, God. It seems to me like that kind of shit happens every day. Where couples who have been together for a while, and then somebody new comes in, and then they're like, oh, wow, this is new. Like, it really doesn't take that much time.
Yeah.
All right, I have nothing else to say. Any final thoughts? No?
Yeah, I'll probably jerk off to it.
Patrick, how can people find you online?
Patrick Graves 4 at Twitter.
4 is an IV.
IV. Patrick Graves IV at Twitter and just Patrick Graves on Facebook.
Garrett?
I'm on Twitter at Philadelphia with an F. Somebody feature me on a show, please. Thanks.
All right. I'm at Mike Bauer, Baurer. You can find us, the podcast, at Trailer Trash Pod. Minus the E. No E.
There's no E in it, you guys.
No E's allowed.
Is there an E in trailer?
That's where it's
that's the only word that would have an E and does not have an E.
Oh. Fuck me, man. I'm like sitting here. I'm like, oh, they took the E out of pot. I'm not even fucking kidding. I was like, yeah, because then it'd be put. Fuck!
Go to trailertrashpodcast.wordpress.com and download past episodes. Go back and listen to the first episode with Patrick. If you haven't listened to it yet, you should. Great conversation about comedy that we had.
If you use an E, I'll fucking kill you.
No E. Well, no, for the website, there is an E.
Yeah.
Fucking mind blown.
Yeah, I know.
And then find us on Facebook, rate us on iTunes, do all that stuff. We postponed our live show that was set for February 27th. Dates will be coming soon.
Yes, but we postponed it for good reason. It's going to be a big, good show.
Big, good show. Big, good show.
Big, good show.
And then tune in on Monday for our special 25th episode with the Oscars that we talked about a little bit with Dan Scully. And then we'll be back with Patrick Graves, who's going to hang out a little bit longer. And we'll be back on Wednesday when we review the new Steve Carell movie, The Incredible Burt Wonderstone.
Yes.
That's going to be another treat for us.
Yeah.
Yes, and then we'll see you there. All right.
Bye. See you there, guys.
See you there, guys. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Trailer Trash Podcast. Produced by Mike Bauer and Garrett Smith. Special thanks to FocuPhilly.com.
Hey, yo, man, thanks for listening. Thanks for coming out. Hey, yo, Father Garrity, rest in peace, man. Yo, Mitch, give that wife the dick all day.